So my friend called me a week ago. He said, watch this new movie. It's called Don't Look Up. And I told him, listen, I don't need to look at this movie. I've been in this movie for the last 2 years.
We have better treatments, and we should be investing in research to continue to improve our treatments and strategies to make sure that we have treatments available everywhere where someone vulnerable especially gets sick. If you put these strategies together, our society can continue to function in a much more healthy way than we have functioned these past 2 years, while at the same time working to protect older people. The strategies we followed, basically by ignoring the possibility of early treatment, by not focusing our efforts on the protection of vulnerable populations, and worst of all, these restrictions on human behavior, on human connection, have wreaked enormous damage. And it's far past time that we stop those policies and instead followed an alternate plan.
So Dr. Bhattacharya was joined by colleagues from Harvard and from Oxford and put together the Great Barrington Declaration. I'm pretty sure they published that in, I think it was October 2020. We've since seen emails between Dr. Collins and Dr. Fauci, head of NIH and NIAID, basically with a concerted effort to reputationally destroy Dr. Bhattacharya and his co-authors. Now, I'll ask the listening audience, does that sound like a crazy individual? No. Sounds to me like a highly qualified, very reasonable person, as we've assembled in this room.
One worry that public health officials have mentioned is, well, if we acknowledge that natural immunity is a reality, which of course it is, and it's epidemiology and immunology 101. They're worried that people would go out and deliberately get COVID rather than getting the vaccine. But of course, the issue around acknowledging natural immunity is, what about the people who already have had COVID? That's what we're talking about here, right? And we can give people advice on, you know, avoiding infection and so forth, but ignoring all the folks that have already recovered from COVID is not a good public health policy. This acknowledging natural immunity would lead to the next very basic question: how many people have it? And the fact that 2 years into the pandemic, we still do not know exactly how many Americans have had COVID is it's an astonishing failure of public health to do basic epidemiological research. The two most basic facts that every medical student learns first about every new illness that they learn about are incidence and prevalence. How many new cases and how many total cases over a given period of time, right? One very important fact about natural immunity is that there has not been a single reported case of someone getting reinfected and subsequently transmitting the virus to others, which we know is not the case for vaccines. Vaccines don't offer against COVID that kind of sterilizing immunity. So we FOIA'd the CDC and said, please show us any evidence of someone with natural immunity getting reinfected and transmitting the virus to others. They couldn't come up with any data. We actually put that in our lawsuit. The university's experts could not come up with a single counterexample. It's a very dangerous thing to say, right? Because almost nothing in medicine and science is 100%. You can always find outliers. But natural immunity, people with natural immunity are the safest people to be around. You're not going to get COVID from somebody who's already had COVID.
So we are seeing actually the vaccinated carry a high volume of virus because they don't have this secretory IgA. So this false construct from our federal agencies that this is a pandemic and the unvaccinated are spreading is a pathophysiologic lie. The vaccinated are carrying high volumes in their nose, their tears, their mouth of virus, because the vaccine does not neutralize in that location of the body where the virus comes in. So this is very important. This is why mandates are absolutely now moot, irrelevant, and out the window, and need to go away worldwide like most of the world has done already. This is the funny uncle. This is not SARS-CoV-2, COVID-19. This is COVID-22, meh.
Yep. Zero randomized controlled trials that show mass stop the spread of respiratory disease. And that's including N95. And for everyone, N stands for non-oil resistant, 95 stands for 95% of airborne particles of which all viruses fit through. So I usually tell people that, you know, wearing an N95 also has not been shown in randomized controlled trials to be effective. But more importantly, the capsule on these viruses are an oil capsule, and I tell people it's like peeing in a pool. It goes right through. It doesn't stick to water molecules. It's an oil capsule virus. At the end of the day, the data is what it is. There's zero randomized controlled trials at all showing that mass stop spread or upper respiratory disease.
So you've treated through telemedicine,
yes,
150,000 COVID patients.
Yes, sir.
With his team. Yeah. With your team.
Yes, with the team. We have a team of volunteer free doctors that donate their time to help treat these patients that come to us. They go to myfreedoctor.com, and they answer our questionnaires. We deliver the early treatment protocols to them as early as we can, and we have a 99.99% survival rate. So I believe myfreedoctor.com, the volunteer free doctor team, we have settled the science on this. Early treatment works, period.
But the key answer is to find a doctor who is going to treat you. And then that doctor is going to be cognizant that a lot of his scripts will not be prescribed. Like, I have patients in Virginia, I treat them. I have to figure out where I can get the relevant drugs. And that often means independent pharmacists.
But these are crimes. You know what's going on in this country right now? Is that the CDC has been captured by the pharmaceutical industry. They sent out a memo in August of 2021. They sent out a similar memo back in the spring of 2020, telling the nation's physicians and pharmacists not to use generic medicines. We are now in a state in this country where Senator Johnson asked the question, how can we get the average U.S. citizen to treat or get treated? We have pharmacists across the land who are refusing to fill these because they've been manipulated and brainwashed into thinking that that the FDA hasn't approved the use, as if that matters. Off-label prescriptions and prescribing has been going on for decades. It's encouraged when there are no effective treatments. Yet I have to, when I try to treat my patients, and Dr. Marble can attest to this, we have pharmacists who refuse to fill some of the safest and low-cost medicines known in the history of medicine.
All the different drugs that there have been some research on. And what was interesting about this chart is Dr. Corey circled the ones that are recommended by our health agencies. They all range from $700 up to $3,200. All the ones that are not recommended are the ones that are, you know, a couple bucks. Go figure.
I've lost a third of my business because insurance contracts have pulled away from me for unprofessional conduct for using these dangerous drugs, ivermectin, for the which my patients have had no adverse reactions. I've treated 500,000 patients or diagnosed 500,000 patients diagnostically in my career. I have not had one single complaint against me. I have 4 complaints against licenses in 4 different states for saving lives. So the adverse reaction from these drugs is being attacked for being a good doctor. That's the bad adverse reaction, and I know many of my colleagues on this panel as well.
And I can tell you, 201, the patients that I've lost, it's because we've gotten a late start on early treatment. I've recently published a paper with Fazio and colleagues from Italy. We have shown the golden window to treat COVID-19 is the first 72 hours. And the patients that I have lost, and they've been very few, but if people listen to this out here, they will recognize that it's a late start at treatment that is, in a sense, the failure of early treatment. If we start early, we have uniform successes. I've reviewed hundreds and hundreds of reports of hospitalized patients and of those who've died of COVID-19. And in those reports, the clear observation is the determinants of hospitalization and death are the lack of early treatment.
I am completely agnostic when it comes to whatever drug will end this pandemic, vaccine, whatever. I don't care. I want this pandemic over. I want people to live.
We also had the wrong bodies leading the vaccine program. Remember, the FDA is supposed to be the safety watchdog. The National Institutes of Health is the government research body and the CDC is the outbreak investigation body. Right now, the CDC and the FDA are the named sponsors of a vaccine program. If American can learn anything, we should never have the FDA and CDC be a sponsor of a public program in administering a product. It has been a giant and colossal mistake. We should have had a separate body, a government body, be the sponsor of the vaccine program. The vaccine manufacturers can supply the products, and then we needed the separate Data Safety Monitoring Board, Clinical Event Committee, and Human Ethics Committee there in oversight. And if this would have happened, based on the emergence of unexplained deaths, I am testifying today that the program would have been shut down in February because of excess mortality.
They will attack you, they will threaten you, they will put you in a state of fear and say, you can only do what we say, but don't save a life. And by the way, the vaccines are expired because Omicron is here. And now they still want to mandate them. So they threaten us and threaten us and threaten us, and we're hunted for caring and being compassionate and empathetic and wanting to help humanity.
Is it, you know, logical to think that if you've been harmed by the first dose, then you shouldn't get a second dose? And if you get the second dose and you're harmed, would the booster potentially do more harm? And if you were on the seventh booster, would that potentially cause more harm
down
the road?
Of course. You don't have to be a physician to know the answer to that question. A four-year-old knows the answer to that question.
And I just want to partner off of what Dr. McCullough said. I don't think people realize that all these people who had COVID were excluded from the trials, all of them. So we're going to take our 5 to 11-year-olds, that there's 28 million. That means 14, it was about half and half. It's probably more 60% have had COVID already. So let's say 12 million have had not had COVID. So if those 12 million had the vaccine and it was a perfect vaccine, it's 0.1 per 100,000, myself, 12 children. What's going to happen to the 16 million children who've already had the virus, who already have immunity, and we're going to subject them to something that wasn't even tested in that group? It's literally absurd. And that's the thing I would say, Senator, is that we're not here about civil liberties and mandates. We're here to save lives. And this group of people should be excluded, absolutely. There's an Achilles heel to the program of natural immunity. Natural immunity denial should not be happening. It should be a major focus of what we're trying to do here, because you're going to harm, I don't know how many children, by force vaccinating 16 million children. It's absurd.
I'm listening to my colleagues call out all of the inanities, the insanities, the absurdities, okay, these departures of our policies from what we know are to be scientific truths. It's things like denial of natural immunity. We have to understand why. To sit here and point fingers and they're doing this wrong and that wrong, why are they doing this? There could be multiple reasons. The simplest and most easily understandable and provable is every vaccine, every these novel patented high-cost drugs is profits. They are putting profits ahead of patients. You know, we can call attention to all of these policies. They are non-scientific. They're failing at having scientific support, yet they're being carried out and they're being distributed across the country. And doctors and states and health departments are willingly accepting these without question, without critical thinking. And that's what I want us to be clear that we're calling attention to today. This is corruption, plain and simple. It's corruption.
Why are they vaccinating our children? Because once it's on the vaccine, once it's on the childhood schedule, they are no longer liable for injury. So they're going to get off that EUA, put it right on the childhood vaccine schedule, and then have no liability going forward.
So I'm going to have to read you a quick little news story out of Vietnam.